The Selfish Path to Romance. Download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com and at amazon.com.
Oh, for goodness sake, I'm a happily married man. Maris means the world to me. Why, just the other day, I kissed her for no reason whatsoever.
And I've got the pleasure today of talking with Dr. Judy Kuryansky. She's a clinical psychologist and a popular TV and radio personality. Dr. Kuryansky wrote the book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Dating, and she also is the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to a Healthy Relationship. And those are very easy to read books. I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ken. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And I thought today we could talk about sex. You know, most people, when they're young, they can't wait to have a partner, a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And then when they're older, they don't want to hear about sex anymore, especially not with their partner. What goes wrong with sex? Why do people love it and hate it?
Well, it's so important to recognize that for a lot of people, when they give up that experience of sex, what they're giving up is pleasure, the pleasure of being intimate. So when we hear the word sex, to me, Ellen, I think seduction, I think romance, I think pleasure and intimacy. And so if people redefine it that way, then they won't say, oh, I don't want to have sex, or oh, you're bothering me, or oh, it's going to mean I have to perform, or oh, I can't do it the same as, or oh, I'm busy. All those excuses, that's because people have in their mind an idea of what sex is. And so if they redefine it as something that is pleasurable and intimate, then I think people can enjoy it all through their life.
And you know, one of the problems I find with that, I love what you're saying. One of the problems I find with that is that, especially with women, I find it more with women than with men, they're not able to give themselves the right, the permission to enjoy their bodies, to enjoy the sensuality, to enjoy their partner. It's more that they feel like they have to serve them, and it's a duty, and it's something heavy, and you get it over with. It's on your checklist. You check it off. Okay, serve the man, over, you know, done. And how do you help them reframe that into a pleasure rather than into a task?
There's several ways to do it. One of the first important foundations is to understand where those attitudes came from. And people have grown up with learning about them. Might be religious attitudes they have. They might have parental attitudes. They might have seen unpleasant relationships. They might have had a bad experience. There's been so many people, women especially, who feel they've been used or abused in various ways and in sex. And so that develops that kind of negativity and not a good association to it. So getting over your any negative attitudes, recognizing that you're entitled is a second step, that you're entitled to pleasure, that life doesn't have to be so difficult. The third step is changing your brain into any negative thought, changing it to a positive thought. And so that every time you're saying to yourself, this feels good, instead of, oh, I didn't like the way that was, or that's too hard, or that didn't feel right, or oh, my partner's expecting something of me. Those thoughts, that's cognitive therapy. We call it changing the thoughts in your mind. And then four would be doing things, small things that are pleasurable for yourself, where you build them up to being something that's sexual. Taking a bath is something pleasurable. Going for a bike ride on a beautiful day, or even walking out in the rain and smiling. And those are little things that teach you that you're entitled to pleasure. And then, ultimately, a sexual experience can become pleasurable.
So you build it up by small increments. You're helping retrain your mind that you have a right to enjoyment in life. You have a right to pleasure. You have a right to smell the roses, essentially.
Well, exactly.
And that many times people rob themselves of that, because really you're the only one that can fundamentally do it to yourself. And so to start opening that up for yourself, you take small steps. As you say, you can take a bath or a bubble bath or a nice walk or go out for some tea or just buy yourself a new CD, music that you love, and give yourself permission to sit down and listen to it. And that's building up to eventually feeling like you can be in a relationship and say, hey, this feels good when you do it to me. Do it a little more.
Well, exactly. And what helps when you get to the sex part in a couple is...
Hey, I got to interrupt this because we've got to pay some bills. 30 seconds, that's it. A very quick ad and then Alan will be back.
Romance. Ugh, I wish guys knew more about what we want from a relationship. Boy, I wish I knew more about what I want. Where's that ad I saw? Here it is. The Selfish Path to Romance. A serious romance guidebook. Download chapter 1 for free at selfishromance.com and buy it at amazon.com. The Selfish Path to Romance. That is interesting.
What helps when you get to the sex part in a couple is to really give feedback and to let the partner know what you like and how you prefer to be touched.
Notice let me play devil's advocate for a minute, but it's too embarrassing. How can I talk about anything sexual? I mean, I can't even touch myself. How what do I do with a partner?
Exactly. You've really pinpointed something right there, Dr. Kenna, that's really crucial, and that is that women and men, but women particularly, need to know what pleases them first. This is the fundamental message that as sex therapists we've been teaching women for years and years, and they still need to learn it, which is know what you like so that you can then teach your partner about it. And that could be, if you're comfortable, either in words or just in movements. There was something very important about what I said, though, and that is to say what you like. It's very important to avoid the criticisms or saying, I don't like this, or don't touch me like that, because that intimidates men, that makes them very upset, that makes them focus on negative things. And, you know, this is a little generalization. Men's egos are very sensitive and fragile. Ours are too, as women. But if you are training a child, for example, think about it with your partner. You wouldn't wake a child up in the morning and say, oh, you look terrible, or oh, you know, today's going to be very stressful. I mean, so you need to say positive things to a kid, and you say positive things to your partner. And when it comes to making love, and you say, I love when you say those kinds of things to me, or I love when you put your hand here, or it feels so good, just, you know, when you hug me that way. Those feedbacks are crucial.
So to keep a dialogue going, or to just give some feedback, instead of having it totally silent, you can say what feels good, don't say what doesn't feel good. Is there a polite way or a tactful way that you can say what doesn't feel good in case the person is doing it and you really don't like it? And
always, Dr. Kenna, by doing one of two things. Either you take his hand and you move it somewhere where you do like it, and then you say, this is how I really like it.
Yeah.
Secondly, you say, I prefer when you do, and fill in the blanks. And that way the person sees what is positive, always moving towards the positive. Think about it if you're riding a bike. You know, if you're learning to ride a bike, you're learning to throw a ball, you're learning how to garden, whatever it is, you want to know, this is the way you put the seed in. This is how you cover the ground. I mean, those are things you want to hear the don'ts.
Okay, so it's very different if you're making love in quotes and your partner's saying, I hate it when you do that, or why are you doing that, or that smells, or that's stupid, I don't like that.
Right, not good.
Right, that's not good. And so what you're encouraging is to, instead of doing that, where you may just end up closing off and stopping the communication completely, you don't want that to happen. Instead of doing that, you're saying to say, I prefer it when you do this, or to move the hand gently where you want it, and to give feedback as to what you like.
Exactly. And the point you raised before that I'd like to emphasize, because it's so important, is to take responsibility for your own pleasure, too.
He should know. Why do I have to tell him? If he loved me, he should know what feels good.
Exactly.
But I don't even know what feels good for me, you know, assuming it's someone who's been very repressed for a long time.
Well, okay. Exactly.
Well, I hope we've encouraged people to experiment and enjoy their sex life. And I'm talking with Dr. Judy Kuryansky, the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Dating and The Complete Idiot's Guide to a Healthy Relationship. And thank you for joining me today.
For more Dr. Kenner podcast, go to drkenner.com and please listen to this ad.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner.
What destroys love, and how can you prevent it? Several problems can undermine love. Many people are aware of them, and yet they don't know how important they are to fix or how to fix them. Here are six broad categories of actions you can take, and which we elaborate on in Chapter 16 of our book. Number 1, correct bad manners and bad habits. Number 2, replace anger with positives. 3, replace repression with the ability to feel and express emotions. 4, replace white lies with the truth. 5, don't let relatives or children undermine the relationship. 6, don't let money issues undermine love.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.